Blog Talk Radio. Muted.
Father, we watch and we wait, and you're already here, Lord. Oh, the anticipation. Oh, God, that you're already here. Gracious God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, have your way with us, Holy Ghost. Oh, Father, as we worship in your spirit, Father, blot out all our iniquity and all our transgression. Have your way, God, right now. In the name of Jesus, God, do it. Oh, Father, do it. You're already here, Father. Oh, Father, have your way with us. Breathe right now, Father, on us a fresh anointing. Father, as we go forth this day, allow us to be the intercessor that we are, Father, as we come to you today on our bended knees and our open minds and open heart, Father, and asking you, Father, to just rain down, Father. Send your anointing here, Father. Send your healing grace where it belongs, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father. Touch those, Father, that are lost, Father. Help them, Father. Increase their faith, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, just move all through leadership here, Father. Allow leadership to understand that it's not about them, Father, but it's about your people. Oh, God, right now, have your way. Oh, God, since you're already here, Father, we should magnify and glorify and your name right now, Father. We shall lift you up and give you all the honor and the praise. God, have mercy on our soul. Oh, hallelujah, God. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, gracious God, right now, hallelujah. Oh, Father, sometimes we just need to recognize. We woke up this morning able to see, able to breathe, able to walk, able to talk. All our limbs and organs were working. But yet and still, we got all these petitions. Sometimes we need to just realize, Father, that we just need to say thank you, Lord, because it could have been another way. So we say hallelujah, God. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, God. My. You all excuse me once again, because if I don't get into this lesson today, oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Our lesson coming from the first chapter of Luke, verses 5 through 17. And we talked about in our previous lesson, Lord, send a revival. And we went over some things that we need to probably touch on again to bring everybody that's new today up to par. I got a question to ask. I got some things I want to go over that I need to get out of the way, but I got some things that draw from this here. And I want to leave you with a thought as I go into this and I come back and address our announcements that we need to make sure that I don't leave nothing out, which would allow us to continue on to our day's lesson. When the revival comes to a people who are in a state, thus belief description is simply bringing them to a condition in which they ought to always to have been and quicken them, is give them new life. It stirs the coal and the aspiring fire and put heavenly breath into the lingering lungs, the sticking out of the soul, which before was insensible, weak, and sorrowful, grow earnest, vigorous, and happy in the Lord. So when we get to a point of we hear the revival coming, this shall immediately fruit, shall immediately start to flourish in us. We shall start, the fire shall start to kindle in us. It should become to all of us who are believers to seek this blessing that God has sent before to rekindle our spirit man, to get us revived and allow us to continue to move forward in his will. Sometimes it takes a revival to get the members of the body back in order. Sometimes the road is weary and hard. It don't look like things are happening quick enough for us. God send the man or woman of God to revive you, to reiterate, to generate the fire down in your soul. I heard Paul tell Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Stop looking at where I'm at. Yes, I'm in jail. Yes, but I'm preaching. Yes, I'm about to be beheaded, but I'm still on fire. Good God Almighty. Sometimes you just got to know what you know, what you know. Regardless of the circumstance in the situation, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of what it feels like, sometimes you just got to reach down and say, that's not matter to me. Well, I'm going to serve the Lord regardless of what this is. I'm trying to get to a point here. I'm feeling something here. See, Zechariah, and we're going to go back over this verse, was told by about an angel in the 13th verse in the same chapter 1. The angel said to him, he said, Zechariah, I'm going to paraphrase this now. Zechariah, fear not. The Lord has heard thy prayer. Good God Almighty. Ain't that something? When God has sent the word, you think God has not heard your prayer, but now God sent the word that he has heard your prayer. And thy wife, Elizabeth, shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John. Oh, good God Almighty. In other words, God is sending revival. John was the one to go forward, to reunite the people, to get the people prepared to receive from the Lord. Men and women of God, children of God, I'm serving notice on you today. Didn't say this in the previous lesson. But God will send forward the word. He will send a forerunner before he comes to get you in preparation to receive from him. The problem is we shun our nose. And some of the problem is we don't understand who God has sent. Oh, good God. I'm not talking about nobody. I'm just telling you, God will send the revivalists into your city, into your ministry. But you need to understand who he sent. So when we look at this thing here, and be mindful, man, good God Almighty, this thing's so powerful. When we look at this, he said, Zechariah, his name shall be John. Oh, good God Almighty. He shall not drink nor strong drink. He shall not impart in none of that. He shall be filled. You ought to hear this thing. Listen to this. He will be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. See, one of the things about revival, one of the things about the revival is that he should turn the lost back into the Lord. If you, oh, hallelujah, I got to say it like it, I hear you all go. Once the revivalist come, his job is to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that the people that are lost be turned back to God. This when you know that God has sent a man or woman of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, y'all ain't going to like me here. But I ain't not here for a fashion show. I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to preach the whole gospel, holiness and righteousness. I'm not preaching it for the bin. It doesn't matter if you don't sow another seed in this ministry. It does not matter. But I got to do what God has for me to do. So he said to this, right? And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah and turn. Listen to this. And turn the hearts of fathers to the children. A lot of fathers have left and went away from the children. But now, here come the forerunner. He is to talk to the father. He is to reunite the father. He is to kindle the spirit back in the father. He is to put the father back in the position so and the disobedient to what? So they can what? Go to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The reason why our children are going astray now is because we have not done what we're supposed to. We have not what? Went back and got the gift in their heart. So what are you saying, Brother Preacher? I'm saying this. The revival. When God sent the revival, he sent the revival there to reunite, to refire, to get you on the path. The revivalist, right, he preached a very different from any form or manner. His teaching, his preaching is different. See, because it's very hard work to preach when you got headaches and when you got body aches and things ain't right for you. So God sent that revival to do the work, to deliver every minister from their pioneer of the state. That, see, some of you are ran your men and women of God crazy. So it's hard for them to preach when they've been under attack, physically and mentally. So God sent the man of God or the woman of God in there to get it right. Oh, good God Almighty. Somebody shout glory around me here today. Let me just get down this road. I feel a strong presence of the anointing here today. I don't know about you all, but I feel a strong presence of the anointing. If God bring a revival in our day, right, it will be because his ordinary people walk in obedience before him, seeking his kingdom and glory. Y'all hear me here. You may think, right, who am I? What can I do? I have no particular gift, right? I'm not particularly gifted, right? I'm unknown in the Christian world, but look what God did with these unknown. Look what he did with who? With Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John. Look what he did with them. He brought them out to the front. So don't count yourself short. Because when God, whatever God wants to do, he can do it. He takes what the less, the littlest, the smallest of the small, that what people call nothing, and turn it into something. I'd rather for God to turn me into what he want me to, and then man to try to turn me into what he think he could. Somebody shout glory here today. So look what he was able to do with John him preaching. If you walk in a daily obedience before him, entreating him to pour out his grace on the land, he could use you as he used the mother and the father of the great Christian leader John, who would turn back our country back to God. You got to understand this. We all have an assignment, right? We need to understand that we have an assignment. And since we have an assignment, we need to line up with the will of God so it allows us to do what God has for us. The problem is we try to get ahead of God too much. We don't want to wait on the Lord. We want what we want right now. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We do. We want what we want right now. We don't want to wait on God. The process is too long. We feel that everything should be catered around us. We feel that we're anointed. At times, nobody can tell us nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. I have a relationship with God. And since I have a relationship with God, I know I got a prayer life. I know what God is doing in my life. He's working. I got a seed planted in the ground. This is my season. This is my season to reap what I have sown. Yes, I hear all of this, him. But what about the season of the Lord? See, you cannot reap nothing if you understand what season this God is operating in. First of all, you need to know, make sure that your season is lining up with the will of God. Yeah. Did you hear the word say obedient, right? Obedient and humble, right? So you got to understand this thing. This thing is much bigger than what you think it is. It said obedient and humble. It didn't say me, myself, and I. Oh, Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. Let me get to this point. So we must be prepared to receive his sovereign grace. As I said, we can't orchestrate. Listen to me. And I tell men and women of God this today, and I stand firmly on what I believe in preaching, because I'm only going to preach what God has given me. We cannot orchestrate a true revival. The revival does not have a planning. You plan conferences. You don't plan revival. If God has put it in your heart to have a revival, you have a revival then. You call all the people together and go in. See, the problem is we won't come on one accord, and we won't get in order with the word of God coming from the man or woman of God, because we think we are so different from them. See, we can't orchestrate a true revival, but we can what? Tongue one. We need to be this. We need to be the kind of people that Zechariah and Elizabeth were. so that God can use us if he chooses to do so. We need to be this. First, we must be righteousness in his sight. I heard a commentator said, in order in our life, therefore, our first study ought to be to approve ourselves to God. And we know that what he chiefly requires is a sincere heart and a pure conscience. This is what commentator said. Men may look at our deeds, but God looks first at our hearts. This means that we must in Christ for what? Forgiveness of all our sins and for his righteousness in the place of our own. We must judge our own sin on a thought level because what? All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 13, right? Yeah, it tells us, and no creature is hidden from God, but everything is naked and exposed to his eyes of him who we must render an account to. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh, I got to teach this now. Look, see, the ironing of this thing is, right, Herod was called Herod the Great by his compadres, right? But here John is called great by God. Look at verse 15. Herod was called great by his compadres, but John was called great by God. Good God Almighty. It would be the wicked son and his wicked trials who put John to death. But in the final court of God, both Herod will not be great. But John will be highly esteemed. See, the true estimate of any life is not what others think, but what God thinks. So we must guard against living for approval and applause of others. With John and his godly parents, we must live to be what? Approved unto God. Boy, y'all didn't hear me now. I got to say that again. The true estimate of any life, you're going to see this again, is not what others think, but what God thinks. So we must what? Guard against living for approval and applause of others. With John and his godly parents, we must live to be approved unto God. That's powerful. And that's a mouth said right there. See, first and foremost, we need to understand one thing. We must be set apart to God and fulfill with his spirit. We must be set apart to God and filled with his spirit. John, right? Let's talk about John for a minute. John, the man of God, used to sparkle this great revival, was set apart unto God while even in his what? Mother's womb. Now, that is a great debate over whether he was a Nazarite. You can go back and look in the book of Numbers 6 and 3, right? Numbers 6 and 3 said he must separate himself from wine and strong drink. Look how far this was told. He must drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from strong drink, nor may he drink any juice or grapes, not eating fresh grapes or raisin. Wow. Listen to this. Since there is no mention of his hair not being cut, but clearly God wanted John to be distinguished from the culture around him, even from the common religious culture, rather than be controlled by wine, he was to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. The book of Ephesians 5:18 tells us that, and do not get drunk with wine, which is deliverer, but be filled by the Spirit. He was to go before the Lord in the spirit of the power of Elisha. That's what it says in Luke 1:17, to turn back the many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 16. So you got to understand, we've all been given the charge to compel men and women back to the body of Christ. But we need to understand. We need to live the way that John did. We need to not get drunk. We need not to indulge in the world. We should not get caught up in culture, doctrine, religious, idolatry, psychology. We should only be able to teach and preach biblically the way that God has intended. Stop bending this because people are giving you money for tithes and offerings. Talk to them. Tell them, thus say the Lord. You got to be able to give them. Yes, this world is a double-edged. It cuts in and it cuts out. So why are you trying to bend it for your people that are giving you extra money? You want to be held accountable. You got to tell the truth. See, why, John, right? Did not do any physical miracles as Elisha did. He was powerful, youth of God, as Elijah was, to turn many back to God. Listen, what John had the same assignment. Conversations are far greater what display of God's mighty power than what the physical miracles are. Conversion. While God has gifted us all differently, and the results of his work through us were different, we all should seek to be used by him in the process of turning sinners back to God. Y'all hear me here? Anybody hear me here? While God has gifted us all differently, and the results of his working through us were different, we all should seek to be used by him in the process of turning sinners back to God. To be used in this way, the first requirement is a life that is distinguished from our evil culture. See, we get caught up in the world, but yet and still we say we have a relationship with God. We say we have a relationship with God, but most of our life is lived according to the world. The Bible tells us, don't be like the world, be ye transformed. But yet and still, all our emphasis and focus is about the world and what we can gain from the world. It's not what we can gain from God. We only use God when we go in trouble. Then we call on the name Jesus. But we long for that. See, people will read our life to see if we are truly different or whether we just put on a show. And this is the problem that we have now, men and women, the children in the body of Christ. I'm talking to you today. If we're not different from them, what makes you think they're going to change their way? You see more of a hypocrite to them than anything. Because you won't give up. They got more influence on you than you got, than God got, because the only time you use God is when you go in trouble. But you look at the world because you say, I can get it right now. I have to wait too long on God. But my Bible tells me to wait and be of good cheer. Stay encouraged, steadfast. You must learn how to persevere. You must learn some patience. And be in a hurry all the time. God is not through with you yet. He will use us to bear witness to others of the hope that is within us. As Peter so kindly wrote, he said, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to anyone who asks you to give an account for your hope that is in you. Yet with the gentleness and rebellion," in 1 Peter, it said 1 Peter 3 and 15 says that, "But set Christ apart as Lord in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hopeness you possess." So you can't give an answer to no one if you're not showing yourself approval. You're not living the life God has given you. If you just like living out their life, then they ain't got no reason to ask you. They see everything you do. If we live righteousness, life, set apart unto God, filled with the Holy Spirit, then God can use us to bring the revival. Only we must also repent of all our sins. John will be used to what? Turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. These are two great commandments: to love God and to love others, beginning in the home. In time of the Spirit, the senses, people in fire forsake these two things, great commandments. They turn away from God in their self-wicked and old disobedience, and they selfishness disregard the love for one another. You see this going on today. Therefore, in times of the revival, the process must be reversed. People must turn to repentance toward God, seeking to obey God, His holy commandments, and they must what? Turn in repentance toward those they have wronged, beginning with the family relationship and beginning to practice biblical love, not this old funny mushy stuff. See, one of these days, I'm just gonna get into this even deeper. See, I strongly opposite the psychology approach to that of a flood into the church in recent time, right? That it does not focus on these two great commandments, right? See, everybody went in with prosperity, right? And it flooded the church, right? But there has been no focus on these two commandments by dealing with the deadly blow itself. See, in fact, right, quite the opposite. The psychologists seek to affirm what? Self. One of the basic assumptions of Christian psychology is the moment is that the root of many, if not most, of our problem is what? Low self-esteem. So the counselor's job is to help counselor and see how worthy he or she is to teach her how to be more accessory so that she can deal with her own abuse sponsor or with her rebellious children. Those of you in prayer, you heard me pray about this earlier today. See, this mentality is persuading in the Christian world. Pastors fall into adultery. It is a low self-esteem. I had a recent saw so many literature from ministry that seek to help homosexuality. The state that one calls a homosexuality is low self-esteem. So the same psychological lie being called in Christianity. Treat it as an oxymoron, living. So it's a direct opposite to this. The Bible clearly asserted that the root of all our problems is the love of self. Listen to this. Our Bible clearly tells us that the root of all of our problems is the love of self. See, the adulterous pastor does not love Christ or his church or his own family or the woman he defines, even the woman
that goes around doing the same thing. He loved one person more than all the other, him or herself. See, the homosexuality is not loving God or other men. He is loving himself, seeking to what? Gratify his own lust. The woman with the eating disorder or the habits and doing the things she doing, she really is trying to find love and accepted by whom, what? Having a slender body or going through, whoever show her the attention. Her focus is not only she can daily love God or serve her, she's loving herself. And most Christian counselors seek to flame by teaching her how to love herself even more. Do for yourself. It's all about you. Self-love is also at the root of our relation problem. Why fathers and children are angry and alienate from one another. Perhaps the dad has neglected the child because he is pointing to himself, his career, and his hope of being successful. That goes for the women, too. Y'all listen to this here. This is what it calls to be in revival, to regenerate, to reunite some things, to bring things to forefront. Time out for foolishness. Who is he love? Or who is she love? Or the children are defiant and disrespectful toward their parents whom God has told them to honor and obey. Who are they loving? Or the wife decided to be a homemaker is not fulfilling, so she go out and get a career track job, neglect the husband and the children. Who is she loving? The sins in the family are all to escalate so that one sin against sin is responsible, leading to a chain reaction of sin. So at the heart of the whole relationship is broken down is that the love of self. Everybody think about their self and need. Mama, I need this. Dad, I need this. It's self. What do the house need? What do God need? See, we want God to send a revival. God, people must humble themselves and confess their own witches, love of self, and seek to obey God and to serve one another in love. Rather than blame others, we must point the finger to ourselves and genuinely repent. We must go to God first and then to those who we have sinned against and ask for forgiveness for our own self-centered attitude, sinful behavior. If we must want God to send a revival, you want the revival, we must be righteousness in his sight and set apart him and fulfill with his spirit and repent from all our sins. That's one of the things we got to do. It's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We must be prepared for the Lord himself. John ministry was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Since it was Jesus born of the Virgin Mary, from whom John was preparing a way, it is clear that Jesus is the Lord, the eternal God in the human flesh. But the point is that the Lord himself, who visited us in the revival, if his presence of his angels was an awesome thing, causing Zechariah to grip by the fear, how much more awesome is the visitation from the Lord himself? Somebody shout glory around me. Many Christians in our own fear, how much in our own day, rather, are flipping toward the Lord. I heard another commentary say that tells the pastor of a friend who had told that John that the Lord often appeared to him while he was shaving. John, in ridiculous response, was, "Are you keep shaving? And you keep shaving? My bad, I said that wrong. And you keep shaving? Whenever in the Bible people encounter either an angel or the Lord himself, there is one unifying response, referring to fear. Okay?
It ain't no common thing, ain't no easy. Hey, God, you believe. Oh, thank you, Lord, you came by me. No, you. When God or angel has come in your presence, there's some fear that you're going to feel. If we want to live God to visit us, the living God to visit us with revivals, our heart must be prepared. As Paul put it, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience both before God and before men. Acts the 24th chapter verse 16, he said, this is the reason I do my best to always hear a clear conscience toward God and toward people. If we are daily judging our sins on a thought level, seeking to live as those who's apart from God, set apart from God, filled with his spirit, repenting in all our sins, we will be prepared for our awesome event should it happen that the Lord himself should visit us in a revival. Let me close it. This is a powerful chapter. When God sends a revival, he also sends great joy. The angel announced to Zechariah that he would have joy and glad at John's birth, and that many would rejoice. They were not just rejoicing at the birth of the child, but at what the child would bring, the good news and the great joy from all the people in the news of the Savior. Sin always caused pain and destruction. God's salvation and righteousness result in a great joy and gladness of a relationship of reconciliation. So I wish, right, I could read to you the description of revival as I read in a book before, right? Well, from one commentator, he reported that how churches failed a sense of God that are flooding them to humility to the point that they felt that they were scared because being Christian. They had a new understanding of the greatness of the Savior and conviction of sin. They also, right, were impressed by the power of God's truth. Far emotional session, the congregation, right? Here, you got to understand this thing now. The congregation were then awed and subdued. And it was often the degree of silent and still more than what? Anything else shown that a new day had come. Wow. You all pray for my strength in the Lord. And I want to encourage you. Go to www.uptopministry.org. Send in your minute prayer request. Send in your request for any engagement. Tell the man of God what you need for him to do. Also, that's any seeds that you want to sow into the ministry. We thank you all for 2014. 3327 15 Court North, Birmingham, Alabama, 35234. Uptop Ministry, just send it in. And remember to go again, uptopministry.org. And may God keep you, hold you, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Goodbye.